You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, Squirrel Whisperer.
Your squirrel-naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to episode 69, the Bill Cherry edition of the podcast. Titletown Sound has a full house of horsemen today. Playing the role of war is Jeremy Vanderlinden. Jeremy, do you feel very warlike today?
I always feel warlike.
That's why you're war, of course. Chris Christofko is here playing the role of death. Chris, you know nothing can stop it, right?
Happy episode 69, Baba.
Back at you, buddy. We also have James Cortmo playing the role of famine. James, you hungry at all?
I'm always hungry. That's just how I live.
I am. Yeah, I am too, actually. But I'm Bobo. I'm playing the role of pestilence because, well, if you've known me for the last 2 or 3 days, you'd know why, and you can probably still tell in my voice. So, thankfully, I'm going to lay it out for you people. I'm not going to say much in this podcast, so it will probably be the best edition of Titletown Sound ever.
I'm excited.
But before we delve too much into that, I want to give you a heads up that on this podcast, we will be talking about how to get your dog to drive a go-kart. We're also going to discuss if Ted Thompson were a Spice Girl, which one would he be? And was Jeff Janis the inspiration for Waldo? I contend that he was, but we'll get into that later. A couple quick items we want to talk about. First, with the Packers, Mason Crosby not getting in the franchise tag. He has been re-signed by the Packers. And James, I'm going to throw this to you first. Mason Crosby signing with the Packers. Your thoughts?
Captain Clutch. I'm glad he's back. He makes me happy in a lot of ways. And like I've said before, 2012 made me an angry man, and I said bad things about him, all of which I take back. So I'm really happy that we re-signed him. I'm glad that it didn't get into this prolonged deal, and I'll just bring him back. And he's here, so that's good.
Chris, your thoughts?
I'm glad they re-signed him because the only way that my article from 2012 can actually be can come true is if they re-signed him, then eventually cut him. Since I did advocate cutting him in 2012, rather was it 2013? It's all a blur. But I wanted the man gone, and I was wrong. He's probably one of the best kickers in the game. It's nice to have that stability, especially in cold weather. He's been doing, he kicks well. That's nice to have him back.
Jeremy.
Well, I don't think there's anything negative you could say about this move. Mason Crosby's been clutch. He had a fantastic year. The signing just makes sense.
True dat. Another name we want to touch on, Julius Peppers. Sounds like he's coming back as well. Going to be hanging around. Kind of an older guy, but Chris, your thoughts on Julius Peppers returning to Green Bay?
I still think he has a little bit left, and it's all about managing expectations with Julius Peppers and managing the number of snaps that he takes. But, man, he seems to be able to show up at times. Again, we lost him for large periods of 2015. It seemed like he kind of disappeared and just wasn't around. But when he was when he was effective, he was very effective. So I still think he has those situational ability to affect a defense, as long as you don't have to rely on him too much. And I imagine the Packers will use him rotationally like they have in the past.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy.
I personally like that he's coming back. I mean, there were times this year where I felt like he was slightly ineffective. And I think that had to do maybe, things did become a little discouraging. The defense stayed consistently good. But at the same time, when you're on a defense that's playing your tail off and you know you're good and you're watching the offense be as bad as it was, it's pretty easy to be discouraged. I don't like the cap hit of over $10 million. That's not exactly my favorite, but at the same time, Ted knew what he was giving him when he signed him, and if the Packers don't like it, they can let him go, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
And from another perspective, I like him coming back. I think that he does provide the veteran leadership that they've needed, and not that they don't have other veterans that are leaders, but he's apparently been a big source of leadership on the team, so I like that.
Yeah. James, your thoughts?
I'm glad he's coming back. Like Jeremy said, it's situational, and Chris said it too. Situational playing with him. He's getting up there. I'm a fan of him. I've been a fan of him for a long time, and I really want him to get a ring. I'd prefer it to be with the Packers. So I'm happy. I'm hoping that his age doesn't start showing next year more than it did this year, and we can kind of manage that.
Great. I know personally I'm happy with both signings, and looking forward to seeing him in green and gold again, and I have nothing else to add. So let's move on to the next topic, shall we?
That sounds great.
Rob Demoski, that was the best opening of the show ever. Rob Demoski had a new article, and Jeremy, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this last week, Rob Demoski put out an article about, he had an interview with Mark Murphy, and they talked together about Ted Thompson. And in the article, Mark Murphy, rather, said that Ted Thompson would be, he knew when Ted Thompson would be retiring. And so, I find that very interesting. But the other thing that he said that is very interesting is that he has a plan in place. So he knows when Ted's going to retire. He knows what he's going to do when Ted retires. And that, to me, is very interesting. That all being said, I kind of, for me, get this feeling that in the next 2 years, we're going to see Ted Thompson walk out the door. And that succession plan, to me, has to be Elliott Wolf.
So I guess the question here is, if Ted Thompson is going to be stepping down anytime real soon, Teddy probably wants to go out with a bang, fair to say?
So here's the deal. I think one of two things is going to happen, and I agree with this premise that they would spend money. I'm putting on my tinfoil hat, and I've asked the guys to join me and put their tinfoil hats on, and we're going to look at the free agent list and say, if Ted Thompson was going to sign any free agent because, he's on his way out the door, on the list, who are you looking at? Who do you want? We're each going to pick three free agents, but there's two reasons I think this might happen. I think Ted will want to spend more money now because he wants to win now. And two, I think Elliott Wolf is going to have a little more push in the front office, because if he's coming in, if he's the succession plan, then it's going to be his team in the next few years. They're going to listen to what he might want to do.
So
if they're planning on hiring him out of the box right away, then they're going to let him have some say.
Now, hang on. So I'm with you on a lot of this. I think the fact that they have a succession plan in place means I agree. Ted Thompson's probably gone within the next couple of years, and he's probably planning that exit. I also agree that he might get a little more aggressive, because if he's leaving in 2 years, there might be – he might make that final push. But I don't know that I buy – and I think Elliott Wolf is a successor. I don't know that I buy at all that Ted is going to listen to him any more than he would normally. I really don't. I don't think that he's going to give him any concessions because, he's moving on. He's going to take over eventually.
I disagree with you, and I want to share my point. But before I get there – James, I want to hear what you have to say.
I think Ted's going to do what Ted's going to do, and I'm not sure I'm not sure how much Elliott Wolf is going to convince him to do anything. I'm excited to watch it, though, and I'm more excited to see what happens when Elliott Wolf actually takes over. I love Ted Thompson, don't get me wrong, but I'm getting a little fed up with nothing happening every single year except for the draft. So I'm not a fire Ted guy. I want him to ride off in the sunset, and I'd like to have another title or two underneath his belt when he does. But I'm ready.
Well, I can't say that I'm ready necessarily. It is hard to watch success walk out the door, and I'm sure you agree with that. That it's not like you're ready to watch that walk away. But for me, here's the thing. If Ted is going to go into free agency and he's going to spend money, he would have to listen to Elliot Wolf, because what the hell does he know about anyone in free agency? It's not what he does. And Elliot Wolf is the guy that is looking at that free agency list. It's like, consistently, Elliot Wolf's job is to look at that list and be coming to Ted with options for the roster. What do you think of this guy? How about maybe looking at that guy? And Ted usually shoots him down. But he is going to be listening to Elliot Wolf as far as free agency goes. If they're going to sign free agents, Wolf's going to have some say in the guys that they're looking at. And I think it's going to happen that way by default, because it's kind of his job. But if it's his team, I think they're looking at free agency, there might be a little more weight to what he's saying.
Any names in particular, Jeremy, you want to lead with?
Sure. All right. I will lead off. I'm going to give a couple names here. I'm having a hard time deciding on my third. But I do know that I personally would like to see the Packers go with two positions for sure. I would love to see them sign an inside linebacker, James Laurinaitis. And I know it's just a name to a lot of people, but I don't see any reason why the Packers couldn't take a shot on a guy like that. If they were going to spend the money. So he's going to top my list at linebacker. Now, for the second one, it's got to be tight end. They absolutely have to. To me, regardless of what the future is for Ted Thompson, I want to see them spend the money on a tight end. I want to see that happen. And Ladarius Green is that guy. He's young, but he was pretty solid for the Chargers when he was out in San Diego. So I think it makes that signing actually would just make a lot of sense for Green Bay. It's not as much of a stretch as it is like this just is, what should happen. And then third, I'm thinking defensive line. I'm not necessarily seeing anyone on the list that I'm overly excited about. Maybe Terrence Knighton. He signed a contract with Washington last year. He was a guy I thought would be good. He was successful out in Denver, but before he went to Washington. But he was only with Washington for 1 year, and that was for a reason. Now he's a free agent again. I would still maybe like to see the Packers kick the tires on him.
And he's got a fantastic, fantastic nickname, too. So there's that.
What's the nickname?
Isn't he Pot Roast?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's fantastic. I was going to guess Nightingale, but whatever. James, let's go to you next. Who are three names you would love for the Packers to look at in free agency?
We do need an inside linebacker. I am torn on the James Laurinaitis thing. I see where Jeremy's coming from with the James Laurinaitis.
Was that a hint that my picks were very Jerry Jones-like? Is that are you calling me out? Are you saying my picks are absolutely terrible?
# Freudian slip.
No, I was thinking more like Jerry Springer.
But, oh, okay.
So I'll hit you in over the head with a chair. But no, I James Laurinaitis was good. He underperformed a bit, I thought, in St. Louis. And I know when he left there, they were kind of like good riddance when he left in as well. That being said, maybe a change of scenery would be good for him up here. I would worry a bit that he'd be AJ Hawk part two. But I think he's worth taking a flyer on. And I hate to agree with anybody because I feel like we should have different players, but darn it, I went second. So, so yeah, Laurinaitis would be my first pick. Second pick, I'm going with Ladarius Green. I think the tight end position. If you know what I'm going to go with is a doctor that can fix your Michael Finley. I think we should get a doctor that can fix him up and bring him back.
Yeah, can we have that? A miracle worker, please.
That's going to cost at least $6 million, I think.
Hey, I said it for a long $6 million man. I said it for a long time that he was coming back. I'm gonna jump back on that train.
I'll set up a GoFundMe or something if that's what it takes.
That'll do it.
I want him back. I can't believe he's saying it. Oh my god. But no, I like Ladarius Green, and then I want to take a flyer on Matt Forte. I do. I'm on the Forte bandwagon, and you can hate me, and that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm married. I've been hated for a long time. But I would like to see Matt Forte splitting time with Eddie Lacy, coming out catching screens. I think he'd be worth the fly.
All right, Chris, which three guys do you think Teddy might go after?
So no particular order. I think Matt Forte is a. I thought initially when everyone, you know, when Forte was cut and everyone said, "Oh, sign Matt Forte," as they do for every free agent, like that's ridiculous. But looking at the situation now, it makes a little more sense. I'm seeing there was an article writer out of Chicago who basically said he doesn't think he's going to demand any more than like $3 million a year in free agency. If that's the case with an aging James Starks, I might take a flyer on him. Not that it's a flyer. I might take a chance on him. He's a great pass receiver out of the backfield. That's, you know, it would be a nice compliment to Eddie Lacy, who looks like he's back in shape. So that might be a lot more reasonable than I think we thought at the beginning. You know, going last, I had this is a really not the best tight end class when it comes to free agency. So, you know, I think that what Green is your only option, and
I totally agree. I think Green is the only option.
And the need is so strong that it just makes sense that you hope they kick the tires. And here's what compounds everything is not only is the free agent tight end class not exactly very strong, the draft from what I can see is not very strong for tight ends. So this may be the only chance you have to do some upgrading, because it doesn't look like Richard Rodgers is getting it done if you enjoy yards after the catch.
Absolutely. I think maybe if he drops some weight, that might work.
I don't know. I just don't know if there's any solution right now. I don't know if Richard Rodgers can be the answer anything more than, you know, a second string, third string tight end.
I just think, you know, with a butt that size, it's got to be awfully hard to get going. And yes, having a butt that size sounds like maybe he'd be a good blocker because he's got all that power underneath him, but that's not the case either. I don't know what the deal is with him. I honestly, I'm frustrated with Richard Rodgers. I thought he was going to have a good year, and I was apparently wrong. So
you're frustrated with him and obsessed with his ass, apparently.
Apparently, that is the deal. I've been thinking about his butt since the season ended, and you know, watching a lot of films. So that's all we really have to talk about. Okay, so to get off this.
Hang on. I wanted to. I had my third.
Oh, okay.
I think I would look at. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but I think I would look at Danny Trevathan too, because as linebackers go, that's another area of need. Looks like that, and I don't know. Looks like he could be a reasonable fit, but that's it. That's all I got.
All right, I'm going to change my last pick. I actually don't want Terrence Knighton, and it's not that I don't want him. Let me say that differently. I want someone else more than I would want Terrence Knighton, and that's going to be the muscle hamster. I feel like if Ted Thompson wanted a running back that was a change of pace, like what he wanted with Jonathan Franklin, that the little muscle hamster is going to be the guy to get it done. So Doug Martin, I would love to see the Packers possibly bring a guy like that in. Now we're talking, okay, for anyone who's listening to the podcast at the moment, you're saying, these guys are morons. Ted will never do this. We're all wearing our tinfoil hats. We understand where Ted Thompson has been, and we're saying this is the year it's going to change. These are the moves that are going to happen.
By the way, so two things. First of all, you just traded a pot roast for a muscle hamster. So
I don't know.
I'll have to look at my trade book to see if that was a good deal. But second of all, I warned all of you, every single one of you, all four of you listening to this podcast, that at some point we would all get to the stage where we would say, this is the year. This is finally the year he's going to spend money. It's going to happen this year. There's always a stage of the offseason where we get there with Ted Thompson. We're all fools because we're doing it again.
We do it every offseason.
Every damn year we do it.
I don't know what your problem is. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat.
It could be this giant beverage I'm drinking. I don't know. So just for comparison's sake, I did look up some of James Laurinaitis' stats versus A.J. Hawk, and also his 40 time, which was not encouraging. Tackle-wise, Laurinaitis was a little more productive than Hawk was. 40 time, A.J. Hawk ran a 4.59. Can that actually be accurate?
No way.
I'm going to double-check it. This is
4.59.
This is what Siri is telling me.
You're looking at AJ McCarron.
Was AJ Hawk shot out of a cannon to get that time?
No, that's what it says. AJ Hawk 40 time, 4.59 seconds.
That slingshot day?
Slingshot day. Okay, is it the same AJ Hawk? This is the important.
Was that his 10-yard split?
Maybe. Quite possibly. Okay, this is saying, and listen, the internet is saying it, so it can't be wrong. The internet is saying that AJ Hawk ran a 4.59, which makes me scratch my head, especially considering when now I'm seeing Clay Matthews ran a 4.67. Okay. But James Laurinaitis ran a 4.82, so that's
what?
Not
very good. Oh my God. Richard Rodgers laughs at that.
Yeah, he's not exactly a guy you could expect to play sideline to sideline with that speed.
Well, only if he got a day and a half.
Right. Yeah, that's not very encouraging, but, you know, 40 times, I guess, I think those numbers from the combine, and we can all agree, all of those numbers are skewed. They're all, you know, like, they're just workout numbers, and some players play faster than they run a 40 time, and, you know, those kinds of things.
That is some high-quality rationalization.
If AJ Hawk's numbers are correct, some players play slower than their 40 times. So, you know, how do you look at the combine and look at these numbers and say this is the kind of player you get when, like, they're never accurate? They never make any sense. Okay. So, I guess
cheeseburgers have been doing a lot more in Green Bay than we realized. We should be calling AJ Hawk cheeseburger. That's had that kind of an effect on his speed. Holy crap.
Speaking of cheeseburgers, before I get into this, Bobo, I want to hear your three free agents. So why don't you go ahead and pull up the old Google machine and find your free agents. But while you do that, I want to talk about this AJ or this Eddie Lacy story. So good old fat cheeseburger Eddie, you know, we've talked about him all season, picked on him all season. We've had people on Twitter get mad at us for picking on him all season. Look, he's fat. He's a professional athlete, and he was fat. He deserved to be picked on a little, so get over it. But Eddie Lacy takes up this challenge or decides to work with, I forget his name, the guy who started P90X, decides he's going to go do that. And this picture came out on Twitter this week. Eddie Lacy actually looks very fit right now. I'm, one, impressed, and two, angry. It took 6 weeks to get to where he is right now. 6 weeks! Of actual athletic effort to try to be an athlete, and he did it. Why could you not have done any kind of preparation in all of the weeks of last year's offseason? What is wrong with you? So, Eddie Lacy, even though you're getting skinny, I'm just more angry at the moment. You suck.
So, fair to say you got beef with him.
I got beef. I got some beef with Eddie Lacy, and I'm not talking about the kind of beef he can put on a cheeseburger.
All right,
Bobo.
We'll let that hang.
Bobo, how about your free agents? What do you got?
My three guys, actually all three people that have been named already. The first guy was, and I'm going to screw his last name up, but Chris mentioned him, Danny Trevathan. Is that right? Linebacker?
I'm going with it, so I'm good.
Yeah. Pretty sure. Danny, the linebacker for the Broncos. I mean, shoot, the guy was on a Super Bowl winning team as a linebacker. Why the heck wouldn't we want him?
That was AJ Hawk.
That's true.
That's, yeah. Okay, fair argument. Forget, I officially void my first pick. The second pick is Matt Forte, because there's not much I think I enjoy more from the NFL than when the Packers pick up a beloved Chicago Bear and do more with him in 1 or 2 years than they did for the rest of his career.
I like
it. So, I don't know how many times that's happened, but I like thinking about that sort of thing. Number three is Ladarius Green, because we need a tight end. He's supposed to be good, from what
I
hear.
So the consensus pick of the whole podcast is Ladarius Green.
Yes.
Well, you're kind of forced into it, though, because your options are narrow and your needs are obvious. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
Picked an orthopedic surgeon.
What?
I picked an orthopedic surgeon. That's what I wanted.
That's true. For Finley, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That did happen. You're right.
Okay, I'm replacing Trevathan with Omarius Hines. Can I do that?
I hate you so much.
That's right.
Omarius Hines.
You can reopen the wound.
You know what? Omarius Hines can come to Green Bay the first year that they don't sign John Kuhn back. They can have Omarius Hines. That's the deal, all right? So, all right. This running back idea, everybody, I think each of you picked, well, I picked a running back, but only after I had annihilated one of my picks. Chris, you also picked Matt Forte, correct?
Yeah.
And James, did you pick Matt Forte?
I did pick Matt Forte.
And Bobo picked Matt Forte. All right, well, just to have another consensus pick, I'm going to switch my pick to Matt Forte. Because I also love to see...
That's not how this works.
That is how it works.
That's not how any of this works.
Hey, this is my tinfoil hat. I can change it however I like.
I'm getting the microwave. Hang on.
Gosh. Okay. No,
to
be honest, where I was trying to go, what do you guys... And I'll let each of you have your chance to answer here. The Packers are going into this offseason with James Starks as a free agent. Been a backup for a few years now, for 2 years now as a serious backup. But before that, the Packers winning a Super Bowl with him in 2010. He's been pretty successful as a number two guy and a guy that they could depend on to bring him in. The only thing that I have an issue with is his fumbles. Do you think the Packers re-sign James Starks this offseason, or do you think they're going to look another direction at running back? Chris, go.
I think they're going to wait and decide because Starks ain't going anywhere fast at 30 years old as a backup running back. He's going to be on the street possibly up until the time training camp starts. So I think they're going to wait. I don't think this is anything unless that he comes back for like the absolute veteran minimum or, you know, like very little guaranteed money. I just don't see them being in a hurry to re-sign him.
James.
Yeah, I agree. I think deep down they're going to re-sign him, but I don't think it's going to be until June or July. I think he's going to be walking around looking all lonely, destitute, and fumbling his pizzas all over the place. And then eventually Ted Thompson's going to be like, hey, look, come on back. And he will, and he'll fumble again.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't have to worry about fumbling his pizzas as long as he keeps Eddie Lacy around. Somebody will be there to clean it up. Bobo, your thoughts?
Packers are loyal, man. I have to think Starks is going to be in camp next season. I don't know if there's going to be room for him, but I think at the very least, they'll bring him in. They'll let him do his thing. And Matt Forte will smack him out of the way. And that'll be that.
That'll be that. That's how that'll end.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously, if they sign Matt Forte, I don't think there's going to be room for James Starks. I think they sign him, he's probably going to come cheap. It really depends on if somebody offers him more than he's worth. And that's, you know, that's always possible. Jerry Jones does still run a football team.
True.
Even though he's been good the last few years, you never know. That there's that one outlier, like signing Greg Hardy last season. And, you know, Johnny Manziel, the next Cowboys quarterback. All right. A couple other names I want to get to on the Packers free agency list, and I'm just kind of throwing this out there. This wasn't something we planned. I just decided that I wanted to do it because it's fun. Okay, so Mike Neal is going to be a free agent going into the offseason. Nick Perry is also going to be a free agent. I mean, we're already in the offseason. These guys are up to be free agents here coming, and free agency starting next week, so it's a big time for them. Which of those two, you can each pick one, but you can only pick one. Which of those two are you bringing back to Green Bay? James.
Oh, man. I'm bringing Nick Perry back. And the only reason I say that is because I think his upside is so much bigger than Mike Neal's. If he can stay healthy, and yes, that's a big if, because the guy gets hurt when he, you know, bends over to tie his shoe. But when he's healthy, he can be a monster. He had a great year this year. And I think that'll continue going forward. Mike Neal is good, but he doesn't have a lot of speed. And if you want to get away from Mike Neal, step to the left. That's all you have to do. Just take one step. You're good. And so yeah, I like Perry.
Chris.
Yeah, I like Nick Perry as well. First of all, because like you said, with Mike Neal, it's like a bad bullfight. Like the bull always believes that you're going to come straight at him until you step out of the way, and he bites every time. But anyway, I like Nick Perry. I think he's this is a huge if he can stay healthy, he's dynamic and he's shown that he's improving and maybe he's finally getting it and living up to his original potential. The only thing about Perry's is injuries at this point. And it's a big, only thing, but I'd like to see him come back. And because of his injury history, maybe he comes back, relatively cheaply.
Bobo.
We just talking straight up, regardless of contract numbers or anything like that?
Well, I mean, if you want to think about contract when you make a decision, that's all on you, man.
Yeah, I don't want to think that much, so I'm going to agree with everybody else and say Nick Perry.
All right. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to say Mike Neal.
Well, you're wrong.
Actually, I was listening to Railbird Central. Jersey L was on as the guest, and he was talking about these two players specifically. Mike Neal, he has not missed very many games over the last 3 years. Nick Perry has missed a ton of football. And honestly, I understand what you're saying about Mike Neal. He's absolutely terrible against the read option. He's just so bad. But I don't know that Nick Perry is a lot better. Also, we've seen him on the field a lot less. We've had a lot less opportunity to watch him be bad. But I think Mike Neal down the stretch this year was pretty productive, and that's the guy I'm going to go with. I'm going to say Mike Neal is the guy that if I could choose between the two, that's the guy that I want to have back. All right, next question. Backup quarterback for next year, Scott Tolzien, is going to be a free agent coming up here. I think he comes back with the Packers for camp, but Brett Hundley is reportedly doing really well, and it's sounding to me like he's going to have a really good shot to be the backup this year. My question is, does Scott Tolzien make it onto the 53-man roster? Is he a guy worth signing back in free agency? What's the deal with that? Chris?
I think if they re-sign him, then he's on the roster because I think he's going to have other opportunities as a backup. He's shown a reasonable bit. And, quarterbacks out of the Mike McCarthy system and quarterback school are very highly regarded. So I would be surprised if they signed him if he didn't make the roster. With that said, I don't know that they're going to sign him. I think Hundley they really like, and he's cheaper at this point. So I think he's going to be the number two, and Tolzien may not even, end up with a contract with the Packers.
Bobo.
Well, of course, I want to say Jeff Janis is a fully capable number three quarterback, which is usually why I'm not asked my opinion on these things.
It's also insulting to Jeff Janis. He's clearly a QB2 at worst.
At worst, really. But this, the Packers are still figuring things out. So # whatevs. But I would say I imagine Tolzien will be back. But I would not be real upset if Hundley goes into camp as the number two.
All right, James.
I don't think Tolzien is going to be back. Everything I've heard is that they're really, really high on Hundley, and they love the kid. And I'd like to see Tolzien back because I've made the comparison before. I think he's kind of Aaron Rodgers, Steve Peterson.
All right. I'm going to say...
Doug Peterson. Steve Peterson, somebody else.
I think I went to grade school with Steve Peterson. Good guy.
I was like, I didn't get the reference. So I was like, all right.
I appreciate you not calling me out on that. Now I feel doubly stupid that I didn't know that.
I'll be honest. I had a moment there where I was like, do I tell him it's Doug Peterson? And then I was like, no, hopefully he'll remember within the next couple seconds and then it'll all be cool, which it is.
Yeah,
because, I didn't want to call you out for the old Steve Peterson.
All right, you get bonus points for fixing your own mistake. That's so we at least know that you know well enough to fix that mistake. You may be on another podcast. Okay, two more questions for you guys. I know it's late, and Chris is going to get up wicked early, and he already hates us all.
No, you're golden.
I'm good. So we're doing good. Okay.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So Casey Hayward is a guy that has been really good in the slot. He really wants to prove that he can play outside. Is Casey Hayward a guy that you see the Packers bringing back this offseason, or is it just the case of, there's just no room and he's going to go? Bobo.
I would guess that if they can get maybe a little bit of a discount, hometown discount on him, I think he'll be back. probably going to be stuck in the slot again if he really wants to play outside. He'll probably be like Devon House and find a job elsewhere.
All right, James.
He's gone. I don't think he's coming back.
He's gone.
He's the money that he's going to demand and that he'll get from somebody is going to be way more than we are going to pay him and should pay him, to be honest, considering that we have Gunter and Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins. And, you know, I think I love the kid. I think he's great and I'm going to miss him, but I think he's expendable.
All right, Chris.
I almost put him on my list of one of the three free agents that they should sign because I really believe that when it comes to cornerbacks, you can never have too many reasonably good cornerbacks, and he's more than reasonably good. He's very good, especially in the slot. I think he's been underrated because of the way the rookies performed last year, and I fear that our cornerback position of 2016 is like the wide receiver position of 2015, and you're one bad injury away from saying, wow, that really deep position just became very thin. I don't think they bring him back, but because I think somebody's going to overpay him, not through any fault of their own. I'd like to see them try to wrap him up for a kind of a cheaper, you know, as a slot cornerback, because he's really nice for the depth. He's really nice to have there, especially, you know, with these young cornerbacks coming up. I'd love to see, you know, to have Sam Shields, Quentin Rollins, Demaryius Randle, and Casey Hayward. Wow. I'd be okay with that. And I don't know that it'll happen, but I'd like to see it.
I think he's gone. I think he's gone, and it's a numbers game. It just comes down to the fact that there's no room on the roster for him, and the Packers aren't going to want to spend money on a guy that's a complete luxury, and he's going to get a decent contract. And with guys that go out in free agency and they get a good, solid contract, the Packers get a compensatory pick. So they're not completely losing out with him leaving.
And is this the year you can start trading compensatory picks?
I don't.
Or it would be next year, and that's when we'd get it anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm not for certain on that. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. Casey Hayward, I think he's out of here. Okay, last question. Andrew Corliss, a guy that coming out of Penn State, I thought would be. Well, I'll just say I thought he'd be better than he's been. He does have a tattoo that says God's gifts. And I know it says God's gifts now, but I'm pretty sure it said God's gift when he came out of college. So pretty sure he was talking about himself. Any guy that can sport those tattoos, I thought could, you know, run for 3,000 yards a game and, you know, catch a million footballs in the end zone. But he's been a heavy disappointment, nothing but a backup. And I don't think he's ever going to be anything but a backup. Is Andrew Corliss a guy that you guys want to see back in Green Bay? James?
No, I want him out. I wanted him out before he hid behind a potted plant. We need better tight ends. He is not a better tight end. He can't block. He can't run routes very well. He's not fast. I'm just not a fan.
All right, Chris.
I actually became a bigger fan when he hid behind a potted plant, which is not to say I was much of a fan before that, but I agree. Corliss can walk. Just to put it this way, when he finally did come back last year with Richard Rodgers as essentially your only other option at tight end, he still didn't get on the field. It tells you what the coaching staff thinks of him, and he is just a guy. He is a third string tight end without the personality of Tom Crabtree.
I love when Chris starts to preach. All right, Bobbo, go.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Is that what you're going to end with on Corliss? That's all he's got. All right.
That's all I got.
I think Andrew Corliss is gone. But here's the crazy thing. It's a position that didn't have any depth last year. It was absolutely terrible. Depending on Richard Rodgers and hoping for Andrew Corliss to come back and, like, praying that that will be impactful. That was a terrible, terrible experience as a fan, a terrible feeling. And you know that a guy is not worth having around when your depth was as bad as it was, and you're like, yeah, bye, Felicia. Let's just go on. Nobody cares. Andrew Corliss is gone. It doesn't make any sense to bring him back. All right. I'm going to throw out a bonus question, and this is the end. This is the last question of the free agency podcast that we're doing. James Jones, is he worth bringing in? Okay, let me phrase that differently. I think he is worth bringing in for camp, but that's not the question. Will they bring him in for camp? And if they do, If they keep him on the 53, who gets bumped? Chris.
I have to go first?
Yeah. Oh, I could change it. I could go first if it makes you feel better.
No, I mean, do they bring him back? Okay, so I'm going to make this easy. No, I don't think they do.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't. I think he's...
But you still have to answer the question. If they did bring him back, hypothetically, they do bring him back, he makes the 53, who gets bumped?
I really don't know. I mean, that's such a tough call. That's such a cop-out to say.
See,
but...
this is why he shouldn't come back.
Right.
Your struggle to answer this question is why he shouldn't come back.
Yeah, absolutely. If
you have him in camp as a body, I'm going to come back to you because I would like to hear your answer. Of who you're
sure.
Go ahead and think about that. James, go ahead. James Jones, answer the question.
I do think they bring him back.
You do?
I do, and I'll tell you why. No, you don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you anyway. I think they bring him back because Aaron Rodgers loves the man like he's his father, which he could be his father.
It's because he's old.
Extremely old. If Julius Peppers is 200, James Jones has got to be. I'm worried we're talking like easy 600 years old. So I think that if nothing else, they're going to bring him in, give him a shot. Nobody else is going to sign him, I don't think. And who he pushes out the door, I that's a good question. I don't know.
All right, I'm going to swing back to both of you.
So, go ahead. I'm ready whenever you are.
I'll go to Bobo, and I'll come back to both of you. All right, Bobo, go.
He will not be invited back.
He won't be invited back. Do you have
that was me, by the way.
That was Bobo. Bobo. Father, apparently. All right, Bobo. So he will not be invited back, but let's say he is. Who are you going to
no,
bump?
No, let's not.
You got to bump someone. You got to do it.
What do you mean I have to bump someone?
We're all bumping someone. You got to bump someone.
All right.
This is episode. Sorry about my dog in the background, but this is episode 69, and we're all bumping someone.
That's right.
Talking about bumping an ugly hair. And all right, if you're gonna make me bump somebody, you're gonna make me bump somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a felony.
He's bumping Aaron Ripkowski. How about that?
Oh my God, you are the
sinner.
Worst.
Yeah, you're
sinner.
Go there? Yeah.
God,
oh,
I hate Bobo. You.
We all hate you.
Oh my God.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why Bobo doesn't get to talk on the podcast.
This is why I wear a collar during the show.
That's
get in your house now.
All right. Chris, who are they bumping?
Okay, so here's my question. And this is a legitimate question. Why are they bumping anyone? I say that because the number one candidate in my mind, believe it or not, is Jeff Janis. But Jeff Janis is such a special teams warrior. I think there's a spot for him on the team anyway. So I don't know that they necessarily have to bump anyone. That's it. I really don't.
All right. So
but if I was bumping a wide receiver, it would be Jeff Janis. I know that's going
to
make
you're just saying within the wide receiver group, they don't have to bump anyone. You're saying they could keep them all.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So, but you're picking a wide receiver, though. If you had to pick one to bump, who's it
going to be? It's going to be Jeff Janis. I know it's Packers blasphemy, but that's who it would be.
Not blasphemy to me. All right, James, go.
Oh. Abby.
Oh,
if we're going wide receiver group, you have to think of this logically. Janis is a special – he's Steve Tasker Jr. You can't cut him.
But with Aberderis – logic doesn't apply, okay? So,
well, right. I agree, but you forced me into this, Jeremy.
You're right,
you have to live with the consequences.
All right, so I'm going to say no, they don't bring him back. I think they should. I think they should bring him back for camp, but I don't know that he would want to come back because I think he fully understands that if they're bringing him back, he's probably coming back just as a camp body, and that's kind of it. And then he'll be cut at the end of training. Well, I guess... The thing is, if they bring him back in camp and have another injury, they already have him in camp and they're prepared. You know, but that's his chance to make the 53, and I think he'll understand that, and I don't know that he'll want to come back for that.
I mean, he will be The good thing about James Jones for the Packers next year is he will be the 54th man on the roster all year long. They don't even have to sign him because he's going to be on the street.
Right. Go sit on the beach. We'll let you know when we're ready.
He's part of your wide receiver depth, whether or not you pay him a single penny next year.
As long as he's on the street. That's right. I totally agree. Logically, if you're looking at this, you don't have to cut a wide receiver because, yes, you can cut another position. And if you're Bobble, you're evil and you're cutting Aaron Ripkowski. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say that a way to keep all those guys is to keep only one fullback on the roster. So maybe Bobble's onto something, but I'm not going to say that it's Aaron Ripkowski that's going to be gone. If I had to pick a receiver to bump, it's Jeff Janis. Maybe that's stupid. Maybe James is right and the logical choice is Jared Aberderis. But my heart is choosing today, and it's not Jared Aberderis. It's Jeff Janis.
So, it didn't make me feel good to say that.
I don't know, man. You said it though. Maybe it did make you feel good a little bit to know you were torturing everyone.
I regret everything.
You regret. James regrets all of his decisions. Okay. So that has been episode 69 of Titletown Sound.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet. We got more stuff.
Yep. We have some very important things. First of all, soon on Facebook there will be a group called We Hate Bobo. The first three members, of course, will be James, Kristen, Jeremy. And also, hopefully, joining that group will be Christopher Schultz. And Titletown Sound is brought to you by the law office of Christopher Schultz. Christopher specializes in traffic and municipal violations, wills, and estate planning. If you're in need of help, Chris has your back. Call 920-252-0692. The number again, 920-252-0692. And Jeremy, that was an exclamation of joy, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, it totally was. Actually, I have to apologize to Chris, and I might have to give him a call because unfortunately I was speeding through the podcast and got pulled over by the Bobo police. I apologize for that absolutely terrible joke.
That is a visual. Oh my goodness.
I did get pulled over a few months ago by the Racine County Sheriff, and it was terrible. And I told him this sob story, and he didn't buy it, and he still gave me a big, fat ticket. Chris helped me out. He went to court for me, fixed my problem. I had to pay the ticket, but that's just kind of generally how that goes. However, my insurance was not impacted, which is delightful, because it would have been heavily, heavily impacted. So thank you, Chris.
So you got pulled over, you went with the sob story. Everyone knows that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I gave him an honest sob story. It's not like I made one up.
You go with explosive diarrhea. That's the move.
I am not well versed in being pulled over. Next time I'll have my diarrhea ready.
I just take my shirt off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Bobo, do you have any other sneaky things you need to add to the podcast?
We got two quick things. We asked for Twitter questions earlier.
I'm really speeding through the podcast. Hey, guys, the podcast is over.
You are the Jeff Janis of this podcast tonight. Running around all over the field, don't know where you're going.
All speed, no thought. Yeah.
although thoroughly less pleasant. Anyway. Yeah, both questions we have here are from @MinettiRyan. First one we kind of touched on already. Which free agent tight end would be the best fit for Green Bay? Everybody agrees, Ladarius Green.
Yes.
Yep.
Sure.
You're Michael Finley's neck doctor.
All right. So that's that one. And the other Twitter question was, do you put any stock into the quote-unquote closing window the Packers have to win a Super Bowl? James, your thoughts.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is, you know, Peyton Manning. He's fairly young. Tom Brady's still doing it. He's, you know, 106. So I don't think that the window's closed yet. I think the window's wide open.
All right, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm not. I have no reason to be concerned at this point. Packers had one down year. They're going to bounce back. No concerns. Everything's good.
Chris?
As long as you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and he's reasonably healthy and not 42 years old, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So, in essence, yes, the window is closing in that he's not getting any younger, but it's not critical. It's not time to mortgage the future for whatever hot free agent is out there. Rodgers is still in the prime of his career and has several more years left.
All right. And, okay, Jeremy, now you can start closing the show.
All right. We did it. We made it to the end of the podcast. See, this is what happens. All right, people, I'm going to explain something. Bobo comes up with a fake sickness, and then I have to, you know, keep the show going. So Bobo is actually sick, so I'm sorry I said it was fake. Bobo, I would never imply that you're a liar.
Except that you just
except for when you are a liar. Anyways, Bobo is sick, so he didn't want to talk much. We're just being real gentle on his voice. So Jeremy kind of spread some things up today, and Jeremy apologizes, and now I'm speaking in the third
person. We're going to break the fourth wall, man.
Yeah. speaking of walls, okay, no, I'm going to move on. This is the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to Titletown Sound, episode 69, the very chaotic free agency episode. James, thank you for joining us. We will try to have James on some more. It's been fun having James around the website doing his crazy thing. And we hope to see more of that. So
I certainly appreciate being around.
Yeah, James, I certainly appreciate insisting. All right, we have some articles coming up. They are free agency / draft articles, kind of a where do they stand by position. Look out for that at TitletownSoundoff.com. We're going to be bringing those out very quickly. Actually, the running back one released today. We have a couple more in the pipe. They're coming down the line, so be ready for that. Thank you for listening to episode 69. Bobo.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say?
I want to give a shout out to Steve Peterson, who got a random reference earlier today. We got a tweet from him, Chris. He says, "Hey, give me a call, and don't forget to pet your cat."
All right, very nice, Chris. What you got?
Steve Peterson for president, and good night, Prince Janice.
I don't know what your issue is with the current candidate for presidency. All right, James, what do you have to say?
If Steve Peterson is a neck doctor, I would really appreciate you hitting me back up and getting a hold of your Michael Finley.
I did do a quick Google search for Steve Peterson, and nothing came up. So, thank you for listening to episode 69. This has been a wild ride of many shenanigans.
Might be a ninja.
Might be a ninja. Could be.
Ninja doctor astronaut.
All right, we'll bring you guys a new episode in the next 2 weeks. So, talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.